Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I've got to tell you, I'm like we said, hopeful something gets done. I would have liked to have seen the $6 trillion Build Back Better plan actually do some things that will help us build back better. That's kind of the thought. But it got watered down to 3.5, and now we're at 1.75. And I don't even know that that is going to happen. I'm still on the not sure yet. But here to share some thoughts on, well, is this good? Is this going to help us? Is it something that we should be excited about? Because we're seeing a bunch of posturing at this moment. And also, you know, does that deadline at the end of this month happen? I'm not quite sure. So sure. That's why we've asked Bill Scheer to come talk with us. Bill is a contributing editor over at Politico Magazine. Bill, thanks for taking time for us.
Always a pleasure.
So let's start there. I understand. Have the Democrats moved the deadline for the end of this month? I thought I saw that they were moving it to December. Is that accurate?
That's my understanding, that they flinch from holding a vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill. They instead pass an extension of the Highway Trust Fund through December 3rd. And that's what happened last month. You know, the Highway Trust Fund generally gets extended for 5-year periods. There's a 5-year extension in the bipartisan infrastructure bill. And if that did lapse, then financing for state and local transit and road projects would be dicey. I mean, you know, projects wouldn't cease altogether right away, but money that would be coming in otherwise, the states couldn't count on it. So that was supposed to be a pressure point to get the bigger bill done, but they keep flinching on it because progressives in the House have said, we're not going to do this unless this is done in tandem with the broader Build Back Better bill. And even though there's a framework that was released by the White House today, it was not a full-blown legislation. It didn't have every T crossed, didn't have explicit support for Manchin and Sinema. And so we're basically where we were 1 month ago.
Yeah. And this has been my fear all along, that we keep pushing this back, pushing it back. And we get the strategic pause that Joe Manchin wanted until we get to the point to where nothing gets done. And politically, you take a bloodbath. And still, we're another, you know, years behind actually getting our infrastructure fixed and doing the things that we need to get done.
I mean, what I find bizarre about this is the delay is in many respects what Manchin wants. Manchin wanted a pause. He's getting it. He even said at one point that we should let the pandemic relief process, you know, play out longer, see how inflation goes before deciding whether to do Build Back Better at all. Now, he was apparently willing to still do this in a more limited form, but waiting doesn't seem to make Manchin sad. And the logic behind, the progressives' logic behind holding the bipartisan infrastructure bill hostage was that it was going to entice Manchin and Sinema to get this done. And I just don't see that happening. I understand the logic going into it, but it's been a month. And all we've seen is Build Back Better gets smaller. And we don't see Manchin and Sinema get antsy about finalizing that deal. So I just feel at this point, get some points on the board. Get something done now. Biden's had weeks and weeks of no good headlines.
Right.
Let's get a good headline day and get some momentum going again. But that's not the path that they're on right now.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, and you're saying pass the bipartisan bill, take that as a win, and well, forget about the other one because it's never going to pass. Is that what I'm hearing?
No. I'm not saying that. I think the notion that Manchin and Sinema or other more quieter moderates would prefer to tank Build Back Better altogether. And the only reason why they may pass it is because progressives are holding the bipartisan bill hostage. I don't think that's an accurate lay of the land. I think all the Democrats know that they're in this together, that if Biden goes down, they all go down. And so there is a sense of mutual interest that I think still remains. But the degree of mistrust between progressives and moderates is not helping anybody right now. So if this was me, and obviously it's not, I mean, I would have passed the bipartisan bill off the top in the first place. I wouldn't have done this whole drama. I wouldn't have assumed that you couldn't get to, you know, 1.5 or even 2 trillion plus if this had gone in the more more trusting way. But what we're seeing is the mistrust gets higher and higher and higher, and that's leading both camps to dig their heels in more and more and more, makes it harder to get that final agreement.
Right, but you've got this Representative Jayapal, who was the Progressive Caucus chair, who evidently had a meeting with the president and said she didn't think the social safety framework that was outlined was enough to get progressives to come on board with the infrastructure plan. There's a bunch of stuff that got omitted from there, ripped out. Yeah. You know, the fact that we can't get Granny a new set of chompers and some glasses just blows my mind. But mm-hmm. we can get hearing, which you go, of the three, was that a flip of a coin, pull of a hat?
I think it was a cost. I think it was a cost thing. The dental is the most expensive of sure. the three. So I think, I mean, that's, we once you put a, and you, it's artificial. You have an artificial ceiling on how much you're willing to spend. That's going to force things out of the bill. And the framework is tilted towards doing fewer things for longer time frames than doing everything for short time frames. Progressives want to do as many things as possible, even if the time frames were short, on the notion that, well, these things will be popular. And once we get it established, it'll be hard to, you know, cut them off.
That's the camp I'm usually in.
And, you know, Manchin and the House New Dems said that's gimmickry. You know, you're not being honest with how much this costs if you're doing it that way. We want to have a truly paid for bill. And, you know, if you do child tax credit for 1 year, which, mind you, that is what they're going to do in this thing. You know, child tax credit is $100 billion a year up through 2026. And that goes up to about $200 billion a year. Because the Trump tax cuts had its own child tax credit expansion, which sunsets in 2026. So it costs even more money if you're going to maintain a higher level based on your budget baseline, it costs more money. So if you're doing that for a bona fide 10-year period, it's a half trillion, I think, through 2026. And then for the next several years, you're going to clear, you're going to go well over a trillion. I think it'll be like a trillion and a half over a 10-year period. So that's a big chunk of change. If you're doing even it's a $3.5 trillion bill, that's a big piece of it.
Right.
So from the moderate standpoint, you haven't come clean with how much this really costs if you're not laying that on the line.
Now, I look at this and you know, aren't these conversations that should have been hammered out in private? Shouldn't the Democrats, because all we keep seeing is them fighting in public. There are no good headlines, and most people don't even know what's in this plan. Got the headline, Build Back Better, and who could be against Build Back Better? Evidently the entire Republican Party. But all we keep seeing them do is fighting over numbers and fighting over what shouldn't be in it, instead of going out and selling what could have been months ago a massive win and a great messaging vehicle. They've just blown this in every way possible.
I mean, it's not over. So there still could, you know, sometimes it's darkest before the dawn. So you still might get to that point. But certainly this process is not helping them. I mean, again, we've had a period since August where if it's not Afghanistan, it's COVID. If it's not COVID, it's the border. If it's not the border, it's the infrastructure bill being blocked. If it's not that, it's the debt limit drama, or it's the supply chain problem. It's always been something for several weeks and months now. And to your other point, if these negotiations started sooner and more quietly, privately, with less posturing, I mean, I think this could have been resolved in a smoother way. It's never going to work. I mean, what happened was Biden came in with the big moonshot proposal and without having the buy-in from both the progressives and moderates in advance. The progressives liked it, but the moderates weren't there. And what we're seeing is you can't jam them. I mean, maybe the hope was that we'd have this thing and it would pull well, and they'd see that they were on the losing side of the argument. They would just come around for the good of the party. And it did pull well. You know, the top lines pulled well. You know, the basic elements of it pull well. But Manchin and Sinema, and I think others, not always as loudly, had their either provincial concerns or I think more big picture concerns in the case of Manchin and Sinema. And they proved willing to take a lot of heat, more heat than I think people assumed they were going to take. And that problem could have been avoided if there were more discussions, private discussions at the front end of this process, and not wait till the back end of this process to get embarrassed and humiliated.
Yeah, no. So is this Biden's fault? Is this Schumer's fault? Where do you place blame?
There's a lot of blame to go around here. You should even exempt Manchin and Sinema here. You know, they could have said something more reassuring that they were going to vote for the end product today, and they didn't. But I think Biden should not have proposed something without knowing full well how far Manchin and Sinema were willing to go. I mean, it's one thing to go big and pull it back a little bit for sake of compromise. But if you got to knock out paid leave, community college, clean energy payment program, I'm probably missing some. the vision and dental. If you got to pull back that much, that says to me you didn't have the early conversations. That's a lot of stuff you're leaving on the floor now.
Especially,
I think the House progressives should have been more trusting and not made a big deal about the bipartisan bill in the first place. They should have just taken a fully baked bill, had the win, and then move on to the next thing and have that negotiation in good faith.
Yeah, but here again, I come back to this. I don't think you get Manchin in cinema anyway. I always saw the Build Back Better plan as the thing that was going to take everything down, and I still do. I still think that at the end of the road, there's a good possibility we get nothing.
Well, if your view of Manchin cinema is they're corrupt, they answer to their donors, they don't care about the Democratic Party, cinema wants to cash in, Manchin cares about his son's coal business. I mean, if that's your view of them, maybe that's right. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong.
I'm not
maybe
saying that's wrong. Right. I'm not saying that's the reason, but it's part of it. I think a part of it is and Manchin's position is as a moderate. Again, government shouldn't be doing a lot of things. The rhetoric I've heard from him about the welfare state, and we don't want people to become dependent. I, on a certain level, get that. But this ain't that, man.
Well, my point is, if you think they're that bad and deep down don't want the bill, then they're not going to pass the bill. You can't make them.
Right. I don't think Manchin wants to pass the bill.
I mean, if that's true, then he's not going to pass the bill no matter what you do.
Right.
You don't have pressure and leverage over him. He is going to do what he wants. So I would have said, look, I would have taken the good faith path. Because maybe he's not like that. Maybe there is. Maybe the Grinch's heart can grow three sizes bigger at the end of the day, and see what you can get from him in a quieter conversation. I mean, maybe it's wrong and you get hosed, but you would get hosed anyway if he is a Grinch that has no heart.
Look, when you look backwards at the decisions that were made, it's always 2020. But I thought pairing them together was the right move at the time for the things that we've talked about, that you get something, we get something, and something gets done. But I guess that's really old school thinking.
Well, I can't blame the Progressive Caucus for trying that, because you can't know.
Right.
You can't know how trusting you should be. If there was a certain logic to gaining what leverage you could get with that. But we have tried that for a month. And all we have seen is Build Back Better get smaller and smaller and smaller. So I think at this point, I would say, look, you tried it. It didn't work. Take what you can get now and move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I see, because I keep looking at how we're pushing on Manchin and how people are giving him. He's getting considerable heat. I got a friend who texts him every day some pretty nasty stuff. The stuff I can't say on the air. But sends him a couple of shots every day. The fear that I have is that at some point you just have him move to an independent and then caucus with the Republicans. You just lost the Senate.
I mean, I don't think Manchin would caucus with Republicans. I mean, there's some talk he might turn independent, but still caucus with Democrats. He has more power now. He has more power as the 50th Democratic vote.
As the
51st Republican vote, Mitch McConnell has all the power, and he has zero power. Nothing gets on the floor with McConnell as there. So I think progressives and Biden needed to recognize, look, Manchin, anyone who wants to be the 50th has power. Anyone willing to take the heat for being the 50th has power. And I think people assumed, I think on the front end, like really, really early in January, people were like, oh, Manchin, he just postures. He goes to the rigmarole. He does the kabuki, but he's a Democrat at heart. And West Virginia is a populist state, so he'll do the right thing after he, you know, goes through the motions. And then when it started to seem like he was doing more than just going through the motions, they shifted to, he's corrupt. He's in the tank for coal. He's not a real Democrat. It swung very wildly. And, you know, you just don't get a good read of a person unless you're talking to him.
Yeah.
And I just think a lot of the progressives should have very early on said, hey, let's talk. Let me see where you're at. See what really motivates you. What is important to you? What's not important to you? Let's find out where that common ground is. That we're in that process anyway, but it could have started a lot sooner.
Yeah, I personally would have loved to have been in the room with him and Bernie Sanders when they had their shindig. Because then he comes out with, how about zero? And that was kind of a negative for me. That was kind of a worrisome moment. So last question I've got for you, because, yeah, you know, clearly, we've extended the deadlines. Do we get something by the end of the year? Do you have a handicap in this at all?
I mean, I'll retain my optimism, as dimmed as it might be at this point. I think everyone gets, there is mutual interest here. It does not serve anybody's interest to get nothing. If Biden goes down, you can forget the midterms. If they can't pass this, the base, the coalition shatters and splinters. But to your point about the how about zero thing, it's this, progressives have told themselves these guys are willing to walk, and Manchin gets to use that as a leverage tactic. When he says how about zero, you believe it. It's a credible threat, which makes it easier for him to knock everything down.
Yeah, no, good point. Bill, I appreciate the thoughts. As always, good stuff. Appreciate the time. Hope you'll come back again real soon.
Always. Take care.
Good stuff. Our good friend Bill Scheer. Make sure you check out his work over at Politico Magazine. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.